This week on the Media Corps Minute Podcast, I am joined by Luke Minger. Luke is the president and CEO of Minger Construction. Minger is a family-owned civil construction company. We dive into Luke's story. We learn a lot about family business, how to operate, how to grow, how to kind of maneuver with the economy and how things change. And yeah, a lot of stuff to learn, a lot of exciting things ahead. This will be a good listen. How you doing, man?
I'm doing awesome. Yeah.
Doing awesome.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. Excited that you're here. I think I've been planning on doing a podcast with you for a while.
Yeah.
And
trying to pin down dates.
Yep.
Probably a year.
Yep. Yep. Good solid year.
You finally got me.
Yeah. After we did that project, and I was like, you know, the more I learned about the company, I was like, dude, I gotta get this guy on and chatting about his business and everything. So
yeah,
I'm excited you're here.
Yeah, awesome. I get to check out you guys' new digs and liking it.
Yep.
That's good.
Yeah, I know. We've been this is the first episode in this office, in this new room. So we're excited about that, and I'm going to actually try to roll these out weekly.
Okay.
So we were doing it for a while, and then we kind of just got off, and life happened, and business got busy, and it's like this just got pushed to the wayside. But we're going to get back. We're gonna rock and roll. So, but Luke, for listeners that don't know, what is Minger Construction?
So Minger Construction is it's a family business. My mom and dad started it in 1984. Our primary focus is sewer and water utility work, excavating, tunneling is kind of a niche that we got into. But our big thing is, you know, if it's a challenging job that everybody's kind of running the opposite direction, we're going to run to it and try to come up with a solution. That's kind of the way we've all been trained. That's the way my dad was. He was a huge out of the box thinker. And that's kind of how our culture is like, hey, let's not run from a problem. Let's go towards it and, you know, tackle it. So that's,
were you kind of always like that as a company or did it kind of evolve into that?
Years ago, we did a lot of private development stuff, pretty, you know, straightforward, nothing too complex, but Dad always would gravitate towards something that would be, you know, a challenge on the project. And, you know, we could figure that out. And I think as we kind of grew over the years and got a little more support, his ideas and idea, you know, were able to, he had some backup. So he's like, all right, let's go for these. Or I think before, you know, he was kind of a, you know, couple guys show. And, you know, I think he probably was a little more reserved. He's like, well, you know, there's a little more repercussion. This is all on my shoulders.
Or, 100%.
You know, he built a team around him. And I think more and more we gravitated towards more challenging projects, especially during the recession, you know, 07, 08. Mm-hmm. We were doing a lot of, you know, site development work, stuff like that. And that market completely tanked.
Yeah.
So we're like, well, we got to start.
We got to switch it up
here. Yeah, we got to think of stuff to do other than just do kind of what we normally do because, you know, people are dying out there as far, you know, going under, downsizing huge. And we actually grew during the recession, which was kind of crazy. But, you know, it just that kind of that think outside the box attitude is what, you know, what really grew. And we got some good young guys around us at the time that, you know, jumped on board and we're like, hey, let's go for this.
I mean, at that time, you had to be flexible.
Yeah.
Just roll with whatever's working and find out what works and make it happen. And
yeah, and that mindset, it's honestly, it's made it what we are today. I mean, if everybody was kind of like, no, we don't know how to do that, you know, that, and everybody would be like, no, I want to stay to what I normally do. Who knows if I'd be sitting here with you talking right now.
Right.
You know,
right.
So I look back at it and we did some crazy stuff. You know, I look back, I'm like, whoa. But, you know, it worked. So, I mean, it's been a fun ride. That's for sure.
What was your dad's background when he like started this?
Farmer.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a farm kid from Northeast Iowa.
Okay.
And, he actually was on the fence of being a farmer and
just,
lived
just
on the,
doing that.
Lived on the family farm. And I think my mom was like, no, I don't think I can live down here. Nope. So, you know, so that he took a job up in the cities working for a heavy civil contractor. Started traveling kind of between Minnesota and Colorado. They had a division out there.
Oh.
So when I was a baby, actually, I lived in Colorado.
Okay.
And there again, they were going to ship my dad to the complete middle of nowhere in, I think, southwestern Colorado. And he's like, I don't know if I want to do that, raise a family out in the middle of the mountains. So he ended up moving a family back to Minnesota. Worked for a couple contractors in the Minnesota metro area.
Yep.
And lo and behold, his neighbor was a plumber, and he had this tractor backhoe. And he's like, I'm looking for people to dig my house hookups. So he's like, all right. He's like, I'm not quite sure what it, you know. And he actually, I think the story is he got let go at the place, or they were downsizing where he was working at. And he's like, all right, here's my opportunity. So he went, knocked on his neighbor's door. He's like, I want to buy that tractor backhoe from you. And he had a pickup truck, tractor backhoe, and funny story, is a 10-speed bicycle. So what he would do is he would throw his 10-speed bicycle in the bucket of the tractor backhoe, drive to the next house that he had to do a hookup. All his tools are back in his pickup. Yep. So instead of, you know, efficiency, Pat Minger always pushed efficiency. So he's like, I got to save time. So instead of me walking all the way across his neighborhood, he'd get on his 10-speed bicycle and bike to his pickup truck, throw it in the back, and then right off to the next house.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's kind of how he got into the industry. And then he, you know, kind of started growing Minger Construction. He had a business partner that he came in, and they kind of grew kind of rapidly right off the start. And then they kind of reined things back a little bit. And
that's the ebbs and flows.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, it learning curves, you know, you start out and you got, you know, they were young at the time. I look back and I'm like, holy cow, you know, dad was only in his early 30s when he fired it up. And, you know, actually, shoot, he was less than 30. So, cool. It's crazy to think, you know, a lot of ambitious and, you know, a lot of courage to do what he did. And there's roller coaster for sure, you know, especially to get to where we are today.
So what was that like for you then, kind of growing up? Like, were you working, you know, for the company, or were you,
Yeah, so I always tag along with dad. You know, people ask how long you've been in the industry, and I always like point to like the size of my knee, you know, since I've been this tall, you know, because dad would throw me in the truck with him, and we'd, you know, drive around the job sites. And I always thought it was cool.
Yeah.
You know, little boy loves diggers. Yep. You know, so I'd go on parts runs with him. Hey, this crew needs this. Hop in truck. Let's go.
Nice.
He had a little. He loved to fly, so he had a little airplane. And
that's sweet.
Yeah. So he'd throw me and my brother in, and we'd go for an airplane ride and go check on jobs in Wisconsin or Iowa and whatnot. So it ever since. Yeah. And then as we grew older, he's like, all right, you're going to help.
Yep.
You know, get home from school. It's like go to the yard and organize, or you know, it's crazy the stuff that he'd have us do. I mean, I remember jumping in a loader at 8 years old, and he's like, all right, it's on the weekend, no one else is around, I need to get this loader to the other side of town, I'll follow you in a pickup. And I look at that back now and I'm like, oh my gosh, an 8-year old driving a wheel loader down the highway, it's like probably not the most safest thing to do, but hey, it was the 80s
back then, they didn't care.
right So, yeah, I mean, just growing up around it and just, you know, and understanding it. And, you know, he made me labor. And, you know, and you kind of learn from the bottom up. You know, that's and I appreciate that huge, you know.
He was probably a firm believer in you got to work your way up and.
Oh, for sure.
Do everything inside of the company.
Yeah. I mean, I went to college for construction management. And that's the one thing I always tell a lot of people is, you know, I get done with college, and, you know, I got this construction management degree. I know everything. Yeah. Get home from some, you know, school, and I'm going to work for dad and mom. And
was that the plan?
That was a plan. You know, I kind of looked at different avenues, but I'd always go home during the summer, do my internships and work pretty much every summer since I graduated high school. I'd work full time and got back and, you know, thinking like, oh, maybe I'll have this cushy office job.
Yeah.
No, he like literally put me in the bottom, the lowest position at Minger Construction.
Yeah.
I was a bottom man on a pipe crew.
And that was right out of college?
Right out of college. You know, I got this nice big plaque on my, you know, I could hang on an office that I don't have. But, but you know, and he threw me in the ditch and you know, I bitched and moaned about it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, what the heck? You know, it's like, why? I got this college degree. Yeah. I've got other buddies that
I've been doing this. I went to college.
Yeah, or working for these big GCs. Yeah. They got, you know, they're driving pickup trucks, you know, and here.
Where's my company truck?
Right, right. And it's like, no, head right out to the ditch. But it, honestly, looking back, it's the best thing he ever did for me because I learned how to work from the bottom up.
Yep.
You know, and it made me, I guess, respect the people that work around you a lot more.
Well, I think even vice versa, you know, like you do that, you know, you earn the respect from all the guys in the company.
Exactly.
Like, oh, you know, here's daddy's kid doing this. Oh, it's like, no, like
right.
You worked with us all through the, yeah.
Yeah. You know, this kid didn't get handed a silver spoon. And there's still always talk of that. You know, you're always the boss's kid. Yeah. So you got a point to prove, you know, it's like, I got to make sure, and I think that helped me along too, is, you know, I wanted to prove people wrong that, you know, it's just not going to. It was just not handed to me. I try to work for this. So, but yeah, that's he threw me right to the wolves. And
where did you go to college, by the way?
Colorado State.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you went out west.
Yeah, and it was just kind of a whim. I was going to technical school in Bloomington, Normandale, and doing that full time my first semester. But I was working full time for Dad.
Yep.
And I was putting in 40 plus hours and doing, I think, 13 credits. And I'm like, I'm looking at this vision, like, this is going to be my whole college career, is I'm going to be working full time and going to school full time. I'm like, I need to get out of here. So I kind of threw a dart on the wall a little bit. And I'm like, oh, Colorado State, Fort Collins, Colorado, that looks cool.
So, a beautiful area.
Beautiful area. Yeah. That definitely was appealing.
Yep.
So went out there and went to school there for 4 years. Originally wanted to go towards civil engineering, but I'm too dumb at math, so I quickly went over to construction management. So I met a lot of awesome people out there. I'm still talk with a lot of people that I, you know, went to school with.
And, right.
Yeah.
What do you think like main things that really helped, you know, like kind of getting that degree, learning that stuff, you know, how have you been able to kind of apply it now?
I think what I tell people with college, the big thing, like especially, so we're in civil construction.
Right.
A lot of these construction management degrees, it's a lot of vertical building.
Oh, okay.
So it's, for me, it was a little bit hard to like, I didn't really care about vertical building.
Doesn't always equate.
Yeah, and I'm like, I've always been rolling around in the dirt. I like dirt.
Yep.
And so it was kind of hard for me to like, really like love the classes sometimes. But like, one thing is that like, even my dad told me this. He's like, use college as it's a way to network and get answers.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest thing that I got out of college is how to get answers and how to talk to people and figure out how to use your resources. Mm-hmm. I think that's my biggest getaway that I got out of college. You know, you learn math and you learn, you know, contracts and all that type of stuff and construction management survey and all that. So, I mean, there's things you take out, but my biggest thing is just how to network, work with people as a team and get answers. I think that's my biggest opinion what college really
is. There's a lot of soft skills that you get from, going to college and,
Exactly. And there's no class for, you know,
right.
Team building. Maybe there is now, but, you know, in my time there wasn't. It's like, here's a project. Here's your group of people. And, you know, you're kind of learning life lessons that you don't even really know you're learning until you look back after the fact. You're like, that worked out pretty well.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Looking back now, you can really see, you know, how it's affected everything. And
college isn't for everybody. You know, you hear a lot of that now. It's like. And I agree, you know, if you're really undecided, you know, you can work in the trades and make a really good living. I mean, that's what a lot of our ancestors and relatives did. You know, college wasn't a big push thing until, you know.
It's really becoming flipped. I mean, like there's a stigma for a while, you know, that you can't, like, don't go to the trades, like get a degree, go find this professional job and do this and that. And then it's like. Now it's getting flipped to where, like, you can do that, but
For sure,
you can come on board right here. We can train you. We can pay you. You don't have to have all this debt and this time spent doing that. You know, so by the time your peers are getting out of college, you have more money in your pocket, trained, and you have a full time job now and a career that you can
exactly
like easily make six figures in.
Without,
and move up from there
without a doubt. I mean, there's people in our industry that there's a lot of people that started as a, you know, sweeping the shop floor, and now they're the CEO of a company. You know, it doesn't always need a college degree on that. And that's like you were saying. I mean, when I was a kid, you know, in the, you know, kind of the 90s and early 2000s, stigma was is like, if you don't go to college, you're kind of a failure.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's like, nobody wants to be a ditch digger. And it's like, everybody kind of had that mentality, and it doesn't, that's not always the case. You know, you can be very successful in life if you put your mind to it and, you know, figure, you know.
I didn't really know what I was going to do. So I did like a semester of personal training at the local college, and I stopped immediately. I'm like, I'm not going to do this forever.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things, like when you don't know, you don't know. But if your parents are pushing you to college, it's like, what, make a decision. Like, you got to go, you know, you
right.
do something.
Exactly. It's like, it's you don't like, want to be that guy living on mom and dad's couch and, you know, doing the, you know, blue collar job. Yep. And that's just that everybody is like, oh, that guy is doing what, you know? And it's like, you look back and like, that's just fine. that person's making a heck of a lot of money, and they're doing just fine in life. Yeah.
Well, now the more people I talk to that own companies as well, as they're like, you know, when I'm looking at resume, I'm looking at experience now versus just a degree.
You know,
like this guy has, you know, experience and all these skills that he's learned over the years doing this thing. That's more valuable to me now than somebody that just walked out with a degree that, you know.
Oh, without a doubt.
They're very green. So like now even that's coming into play with
things, you and know. You even talk to like, we'll do internships at Minger Construction and you'll get guys and they'll come in and they're like, yeah, I learned more this summer than, you know, I learned it all, you know, the last two semesters or last semester in college. And it's like, yeah, that's because it's real world stuff, you know, and you got to think on the fly, and there's no textbook for it. You know?
You learn quick.
Oh, yeah, you have to.
If you're doing it day in and day out, you're learning quick.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yep.
No, I like that.
Yeah.
So diving back into, you know, the company, you know, you're out of college, you're starting from the bottom, you know, what does that progression look like to, you know, take it on more and more? You know, when does even like, did you and your dad talk about ownership at, you know, different points, or what does that look like?
Not really. I mean, I think that was always kind of a long-term vision. You know, I
kind of both on the same page.
Right. Especially since I got more into it. I, you know, was enjoying it. This is what I want to do in life. You know, that kind of became a goal, you know, We were a great team, worked together. So it, you know, I like I said, I started from the bottom as a laborer, then I kind of transitioned to an operator, you know, and then he kind of threw me to the wolves again. It's like, hey, we need another crew. I want you to run the crew in the field. So, you know, I did that for, I think it was a couple summers. And then how I kind of progressed in the office and project management is during the winters, you know, we'd be slow. So he's like, well, I need help bidding jobs. So, Here's a plan set, do a takeoff, figure out, you know, throw me all the numbers of what you think this is all is, you know, then he would final the bid. Eventually, you know, a trans taught me how to bid. Mm-hmm. Here's our Excel spreadsheet, you know, figure out how to bid the job. And, you know, he'd look over it and like, all right, let's run with it. And then, you know, that definitely progressed to, you know, running jobs and, you know, from winter time. And then I, you know, a couple summers in, it was like, all right, he's like, I need help managing these jobs. You know, we're kind of growing a little bit here, and, you know, I can't manage everything on my own. So that kind of helped me get the office side of it. So there again, I kind of started from the bottom
down the office.
And that's the way you kind of have to start, you know, and that way you learn and, you know, figure out how to deal with people and, you know,
it comes back to that work experience too. You know, if you do everything, you understand how it works.
Right.
You have expectations for certain people. Like, you know now.
Exactly. Especially if, you know, with us doing a lot of pipe work, you know, you've been down in that ditch. You know how the pipe goes together, what parts you need.
Yep.
And that can transition to the office. And, you know, when you're bidding a job and you're like, you know, it's not always going to spell out exactly what you need or how
you
got to build it in your head when you're bidding a project. So I, you know, doing, having that experience definitely helped, you know, you have a clue.
Yep.
Whereas, you know, if you just go straight in the office and you've never seen it or been around it, it makes it hard for you to grasp the reality of it. So that was huge.
Yeah. But, and just that idea of like, you know, like you don't want to have people doing stuff that you wouldn't, you know, do yourself or have done. You know, it's like
100%
mentality too.
Yeah, because it's like
you don't get it. You know, it's like
right.
I've done it, man.
And if I don't want to put myself in that, that's one thing. When you look at work, it's like if I don't want to do it or put myself in that position, I have a really hard time putting a number on that, you know, or putting a bid on that. Because if I have a tough time doing that, not wanting to do it myself, why am I going to ask my crew to do something that I don't even want to do?
No.
So, and it's something where, you know, if I'm even on the fence, we'll have a conversation with the foreman or, you know, some of the people on our staff and be like, hey, what do you think of this? You know, and if they're telling me, heck no,
right,
you know, we'll pull the pin. You know, it's like you got to have people that anybody can write a number down and go get work, but you got to build it. It's that's the hardest part is, you know, that challenge, you know, once you got the project is actually going
to figure it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Get it done.
Yeah.
That's always astonished me, just like in your guys' industry, you know, you mean you get large scale, long-term projects. It's like you have no idea like what you're really getting into. You know, you've done stuff in the past and you obviously have the experience, but it's got to be always things that you don't change. And it's like, how can you plan for all of the, you know, didn't know that was going to happen.
And if, unfortunately, we see it more and more. As you know, weather's huge, and that's been from the beginning of time with construction. You know, you can't, Mother Nature's going to win every day.
Yep.
So you got to adapt to that. And there's ways around it, you know. Sometimes you don't push it, sometimes you do push it. But the big, you know, a lot of things we struggle with are sometimes out of our hands, or utility conflicts, you know, that can put a job to a screeching halt. You know, we're digging away, and next thing you know, you get a high-profile fiber that's right in conflict, and boom, you're shut down. Then you're like, plan B. Plan C, you know, where are we going next? We've got.
And then you're moving crews and equipment, and that takes
It's a lot of juggling, and you know, and then unfortunately, we kind of see more and more of it, just because, you know, especially when you get in the type of work we do, is we do a lot of, you know, reconstruction in urban environments, and you know, we're getting in the infrastructure that's 100 years old, and you know,
how well do they document everything?
Exactly.
They did it 100 years ago.
Yeah, and there's some owners that are, it blows you away how well they did. I mean, you're looking at documents that are 100 years old and you're like, and they're spot on. Then you get somebody that only put something in 5 years ago and they don't even have anything on it. So it's, you know, it's,
we're going in blind,
right? Going completely blind. And it gets frustrating. It gets frustrating for the crews, cause you know, they want to work, and you know, you get shut down, and you know, and we got to go on to the next thing. So, you know, that's a real big industry challenge that we have, is just, you know, kind of unknown conditions, and you got to hit the brakes. Like I said, you got to have a plan B or C. Always kind of try to have something up your sleeve, and you know, something to move on to. And unfortunately, it's not the most efficient way, but as long as you can keep working and money flowing in the door, to me, that's key. So, so that, you know, because you stop work and tell everybody to go home, you know, those people got to feed their families too. You know, I got to try to figure something out for them.
Well, yeah. And you feel the pressure of that, you know, on your back when you're,
Without a doubt.
Day and
You know, cause it's, you know, we're a big family, you know, I feel the pressure that I got to make sure that these people are working so they can provide for their families. You know, I really take that serious because, you know, I get it. You know, if somebody's not doing their job and then they can't work, you know, well, it's feast or famine. They're going to go on to somewhere else. They got to eat, you know, and then if you got key employees, you don't want to lose
it. You don't want to lose it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's my big, one of my big priorities is make sure keep the wheels going, keep people rolling, and always have an open mind.
So, yeah. Well, I like that. You know, we've had a lot of, I would say, multi-generational, like family-owned businesses, you know, over the years, and that have been on the podcast even. And everyone does it differently, you know, transition-wise, from, you know, owning and, you know, equity, and how does this all work, you know. And I know you have a different experience with that. You know, how did it look for you guys when, you know, you transitioned into, you know, running the company?
So a transition, I think mom and dad saw that he's going to be able to figure this out.
Yep.
You know, and they're like, well, let's start transitioning. And I look back at it now, thankfully we started transitioning when we were a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
Made it a little bit more affordable for me at that time. Yeah. But, yeah. It, you know, we started that transition, I think it was in 15, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, almost 9 years ago now. And
just like portions.
Portions, you know, I would buy into it. And, yeah. You know, and then at that time I became 75% owner of the company. Dad was 25% still, you know.
Was he doing much hands on
day? And, Dad was pretty much hands on till he passed away. I mean, he was you know, involved. He was the type of guy that wasn't going to retire.
Right.
He enjoyed it way too much.
Most guys, when they started, they're just attached.
Yeah. And it was something where he wasn't putting submittals and RFIs together.
Yeah.
You know, he was out there problem solving. And that's what he loved. I mean, he'd be driving around the job sites, just checking in, just seeing if people need help.
Yeah. Boosting morale, checking in with the team.
Right. And, you know, doing, you know, just problem solving. Mm-hmm. If he needed a jump in the low boy. To go deliver something, he'd, you know, sometimes he'd be like, yeah, I don't know if you need to be in that, but all right, get in, run. Yeah. So, you know, he was the type of guy that, you know, as you know, towards the last, you know, 2 years ago, you know, I was pretty much day to day, you know, scheduling, making sure crews are going. And, you know, he was just kind of there for that support and making sure, you know. You know,
but at the time, like, he had pretty much said, like, you're running the show.
Yeah, right, it's kind of, you know, he would consult with me on stuff. He's like, hey, this is what I'm thinking. And we'd bounce ideas, and sometimes we wouldn't agree on things. Yep. But, you know, we'd agree to disagree, and we'd move on, you know. And a lot of times I'd be like, we'd both be like this, but it'd be like 2 hours later, be like, yeah, you know what, you're right. You know, it's like, yeah, you got a good point. After, you know, you may be firm, like, oh, no, stubborn, no, that's not the way, I want to do it my way. Then all of a sudden you're like, no, it's a pretty good idea.
Let's
run with that. So, and that's where we worked really well that way. You know, we'd have ideas, and he'd do the same to me. You know, I'd be like, yeah, that is a good idea. Let's run with that. So, you know, I feel like we both had open minds and stuff like that. But
yeah
as far as the transition goes, you know, I just slowly took more and more over the operations and the day to day. And
was there ever like this is like a day where you're kind of like technically like,
no,
you know, just kind of just it was load into that.
Yeah. And that's just very informal.
Yeah. No,
you know, it's just kind of like, he just kind of let me fly. And then, you know, it's like I think he was kind of sitting there in the background. If, you know, if Luke was starting to sink bad, he's going to come right in. And, you know, and fortunately I didn't sink. So, you know, it's, but having his support there and being able to bounce ideas, you know, that, I think that was my biggest, that's the reason I succeeded in being able to move forward is, you know, you had that resource there, and it's like, well, what do you think type of a deal. So,
right.
Yeah. I think that, you know, that was huge. So
how'd sport come with just like leadership in the company and the, you know, the whole team? I mean, when you're,
so as we've grown, we've kind of redeveloped our leadership program, you know, back in the day, you know, we had one general soup. Now we have five, you know, and we kind of split it up, and, you know, we tier it down, and we have foremen and stuff like that. So my big thing is, you can't do it all.
Right.
So try to develop people to help take that weight off your shoulders. And my word of advice to our leaders within our company is train your replacement. Mm-hmm. And some people look at me like, what are you talking about?
Yep.
It's like, well, if you want that day off, you want to go to the cabin with your family,
you have someone that can do
that. You can somebody to take that with you, and you're not sitting there at the cabin with your family. You're supposed to be enjoying family time, and you're answering phone calls all day long, and you're technically not even on vacation. You're still at work. So that's what I mean when I say that to people. It's not like you don't want that guy to take your job, but it makes your life a lot easier that you got a lead person that can support you when you're gone. And
well, and technically, you know, that person can't keep progressing if they're not finding the person to replace what they're doing to be doing more or something else.
Exactly. And you know, a good leader will let that person step up if another position opens within the company, you know, or if unfortunately if, you know, if we don't have that position and there's another company that does, you know, let that person grow, you know, but our big thing is try to train within and promote those people. You know, that's always a primary goal. You know, if we're hiring somebody, the first thing we do is kind of like, you know, see if we can get somebody within the company because, you know, they understand our culture. They understand our values. So, you know, that's always your number one choice. And sometimes that's not an option. But, you know, that's the big thing is just like don't try to do everything on your own. You know, lean on, I mean, if you got a good support staff, which we're very fortunate, we got great people. You know, it makes my life a heck of a lot easier. You know, it's like you can lean on these guys. And a lot of times they're a lot smarter than me on a lot of things, you know.
But yeah, you're surrounding yourself with experts and what they do.
Right.
You know, that's that support system.
I mean, I've heard this and read this from, you know, always try to hire somebody that's smarter than you. You know, it's because it's going to make your life a lot easier, you know. And they may know a lot more things about that certain aspect, and you might even know more about something else that they don't understand, but as a whole it just makes it a great team. So that's what our big thing is, you know, just try to you know, build around and, you know, try to, you know, develop leaders is what we try to focus on.
And I heard you mention, you know, the you know, kind of the mission core values that the, you know, the company has and stands for. I mean, do you guys live those out pretty heavily, and is that—
Yeah, we do. I wish that's one thing I think we can improve on is like make it a little more, I guess, firm.
Yeah.
You know, we don't walk into our office and we got big core values across. I don't know if that's the right answer or not, but, you know, I think that's one thing I could improve on is to make that a little more clear. You know, I think, you know, our biggest thing is, you know, safety, efficiency, family, you know. One big thing is everybody's a family member. I still like to know everybody's name in our company. We're up to 120 people, but my main goal is I still want to remember everybody's name. If I can walk up to a job site, I want to know everybody's first name.
Absolutely.
And to me, family's huge. You know, that's kind of, if you got a good family life, your work life is going to be better, you know, and if you don't have a good work life, it can make a poor family life. So it's
you carry it in both ways.
Exactly. And you want people to come to work because if people want to come to work, it's going to make the job that much. Go by it faster, get back to your family quicker, and time goes by faster, but you're going to be a better individual. You're going to be a better worker just because if you're happy, you know, just look at anything. I mean, if you dread and don't want to go wake up in the morning, then you should be really looking at, what am I doing in life? You know, and you're going to have days. There's days where, you know, not every day is rosy, peachy, full of rainbows and unicorns. It's, you know, there's going to be tough days, but as long as there's more better days than bad days, you're doing something right. And, you know, that's another thing my dad taught me is like, if you can find a job that you enjoy going to and you don't think of it as a job, then you're succeeding no matter how much money you're making or whatever. As long as if you don't think your job is a job,
right,
then, you know, you're doing good in life. And that's my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, we've even here, we try to build a culture that like people look forward to coming into work.
You
know, we want to have a team. We want to have environment. We want to have, you know, that culture that's like, oh, I look forward to Mondays, you know, like, to me, like, Friday's like, I'm like, dang, I got to, like, figure out what to do now.
Right.
You know, let's get back to Monday because, like, I like being around these people. I like what I do. You know, it's like that's what I've created, and I've tried to have that here, you know, and it's the same thing because that's like, if you're enjoying what you're doing, you're thriving at it.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, and you're going to be, like you said, you're thriving. You're going to be a better individual, and you're going to succeed.
So, you know, transitioning a bit to, you know, just the industry in itself, you know, how do you think economy's been and just hitting the construction industry as a whole, and even like the civil side?
It's usually I try to have a pretty good gauge on it. In these last 3 years, it shocks me every year.
Yeah.
It's like you just think it's you kind of being Mr. Doomsday guy, like, oh, it's going to, you know, things are going to slow down. And especially living through the, or being, you know, through the big recession and, you know, 07, 06, 08, you kind of see, you know, you remember when times were not great.
Yep.
You really had to get down, but it keeps on shocking me. I mean, private stuff is still staying steady. People are still spending money. Mm-hmm. I don't know when it's going to slow down, to be honest with you. I wish I had that magic ball.
Or if it will.
Yeah. Right, if it will. I mean, it's weird. You know, people
say we're already in it, you know, it's like.
Yeah, and it's not, it could be a lot worse.
Yeah.
It could be definitely, maybe just because I was in really bad times, mm-hmm. you know, you kind of see what it is and you're like, oh, this isn't bad at all. Mm-hmm. But.
It's definitely. Like we've seen it where, you know, people have like paused or just had to cancel, you know, jobs just because interest rates, and it's like, I can't make this make sense anymore.
So yeah.
I gotta pause or just go, I gotta wait till this comes down. But there's always people doing something. Like it's
right. I mean, you drive around, the big gauge for me is always like private stuff. Mm-hmm. If you drive around and see that people are putting up townhomes or building new houses or doing a new commercial property, and you still drive around and there's still quite a bit of that going
everywhere,
on
everywhere. Yeah,
yeah. So I mean, that's a good sign. In public infrastructure, there's, you know, the feds, they've allocated a lot of money towards that. I don't think we've even really seen a lot of it. It's mm-hmm. still trickling in, which is good.
Yeah,
you know, that's better for the future in case we do have a little bit of a slowdown. You know, people are gonna maybe migrate more to public work and you know, stay in that.
How much of that do you do versus private?
I would say public is probably 85 to 90%. We do a lot of public bid build. I mean, it varies on year; it'll fluctuate a little bit, but yeah. We're primarily the public infrastructure, just because the type of work we do with tunneling, and you know, you don't get a big diameter tunnel in a housing development. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen that mm-hmm. often. So that's kind of what we, you know, gravitate towards, and it seems to be pretty stable. You know, the unfortunate part about that is you got to be low bid. You know, there's not a whole lot of relationship mm-hmm. building there. It's like, if you're not low, you're not getting the work. So
there's, how much do you think relationship or like skill though, like plays into it though?
I think it definitely helps. I mean, you're going to know, I shouldn't say not what you can get away with, but you're going to understand what the owner's expectations are. Yep. And you can plan for that. And that might give you a little more competitive edge, especially if you've worked with that client before. You're going to know their expectations. Mm-hmm. You're going to understand what they're looking for. So that's where that kind of plays in. As far as the public bid market, you know, you don't get to turn your bid in and then sit down and have a meeting and, you know, well, can you get a little bit tougher? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, or if they had a poor experience with another contractor, they by law, they really just can't throw them out. Mm. You know, they got to take that low bid. So that kind of, it makes it tougher, especially if, you know, you do see a little bit of a slowdown. You know, you start getting contractors that aren't your typical competitors. And, you know, so you're going to have a little more competitive. Instead of 5 bids, you might have 10 bids, mm-hmm. you know. So, and there you just got to kind of start thinking out of the box and trying to, you know, it keeps you in check. You know, you got to make sure you got to go that extra mile to figure out that bit out, and you know that
how to be efficient, with what you're doing
exactly. You know, dig deep and try to find those little extra, you know, tricks that you might get you the job. And instead of just, you know, when times are good, sometimes you can just throw numbers at that. You know, you're covered and you're going to get the job. Well, when it gets nitty gritty, you gotta.
I mean, you don't want to go upside down on a project either. You know,
exactly. It goes back to, like I said, anybody can write a number down. Mm-hmm. You still got to build it and still got to make money.
Yep.
So you got to put some thought into it for sure.
What do you think? What do you think makes Minger stand out from competitors, just the industry?
Kind of going back to that. Challenging projects. We like to work with owners too. if we see something that may not work or there's a better way to skin the cat, you know, we'll bring that idea to the table. And a lot of times we got good relationships with owners and clients, and they'll sit down and listen to us and be like, yeah, that's a great idea. And sometimes they're like, no, this is the way we got to do it, because there's more to the story. That's the way we got to build it. But usually they're really open to, we can bring those ideas to the table.
Right.
You know, that kind of goes back to that thinking out of the box and trying to, you know, shave time on schedule.
Well, they gotta be able to like take you guys' like reputation and experience and go like, okay, like, I gotta consider this now.
And, yeah, yep. And there's a lot of jobs that we get involved with that, you know, some engineers or owners that they've never seen it before, but you know, we've done some weird stuff over, say, in Milwaukee or down in Iowa, and it might be some suburb of the Twin Cities, and they're like, they've never even heard of that process. And but it's a great way to, you know, do a different layout on a utility design, or or instead of open cutting and you know, basically burden all these people in this you know, neighborhood that everybody's living in, needs to go to work and school every day, we could do it trenchless,
right?
And we can do it for the same price of the open cut, because we can say, you know, we don't have to do all the restoration, and people, we don't have as big of an impact. So having that option, I think, makes us, you know, it, we got different ways that we can provide, you know, ways to install utilities and stuff like that. I think that's huge. You know, we give you a couple, or if we get caught in, like we were talking about, utility hits or not hits, but a conflict, you know, there's ways that we can look at it and be like, hey, you know, if we redesign this alignment, go over here, and we might have to use a different method of installation, but we can do that in-house and not bring a subcontractor in. You know, that helps us. That helps us keep the project moving, and, you know, we don't have to hit the brakes and, you know, basically throw up our arms and say, your problem, not ours.
Right.
You know, and that's what the attitude is that we always try to push, is like, no, it's all of our problem.
When you guys have had projects that, you know, other people just didn't want to try to even take on, you know, and just like, hey, this is hard or difficult or interesting or more than what we want to try to, you know, do. And, you know, I think you've mentioned that too, just that we're not afraid to, you know, get dirty, but also figure it out.
Right. And that's, you know, we've got a lot of great minds that we all work together that work at Minger Construction that, you know, it's, I mean, we'll sit down in a conference room and be like, all right, this is what we got. You know, let's throw some ideas together. And all of a sudden you're sitting there talking, like somebody will bring something up and like, that's a great idea. Why didn't I think of that? But yeah, let's present that to them, you know, and we can sit and brainstorm. And you know, we meet every week on Mondays, and we bring all the superintendents and project managers together. And it's basically just a collaborative on going over the company schedule, what everybody's doing. Trying to be transparent,
do you lead those?
Yeah. Nice. Yep. Basically we go review a schedule agenda, and it's a way to, if somebody's struggling on another project, and you could have a superintendent in Iowa and you got a superintendent in Northern Minnesota, and they're like, all of a sudden we're talking about our conflict, and they'll be like, have you tried this?
Or yeah.
Talk to this person. They're like, oh, that's brilliant.
Absolutely.
You know, and because you get into struggles or a challenge, and you start getting kind of that tunnel vision. And that's why these meetings are really important to us, is we get everybody collaborating and, you know, try to help
leveraging
each other.
Years and years of experience and different, you know,
exactly.
Avenues that all, you know, everyone coming together is, it's way more powerful.
Yeah.
And you can, yeah, leverage that.
Yeah, and nothing's a secret. You know, everybody knows what everybody's doing. It's not like, oh, yeah, I don't know what they're doing. You know, you know, it's not a big secret. You know, I try to be transparent, because if anything, somebody can help out with a idea that, you know, they might not have thought of. And, you know, and that's a big thing. You know, sometimes people like, well, they don't want to hurt their pride.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and
I don't want to ask for help.
Right. Yeah. And then these meetings, we're like, we got to put pride aside.
Yep.
You know, we got to come up with solutions and, you know, try to keep moving forward. And, you know, in a positive direction, not a negative direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're all on the same team doing it.
Exactly. You know, we have different divisions within Minger Construction, but, you know, I could tell people it's the same name on the side of the excavator. You know, yeah. It's like it doesn't – we all got to work together.
Right.
Yeah, because that's one of the big things why we started getting into different avenues as we grew, is because that was my biggest pet peeve, is you'd be working for a contractor or whatever, and there'd be like this rivalry, you know, those dang pipe guys, those dang dirt mm-hmm. guys, you know, mm-hmm. and they don't – you know, it's like they're almost trying to sabotage each other, and I hated that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like that's why we kind of started doing some things in-house, and, you know, working together, you know. And sometimes we even get that within, but you got to squash it fast. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, time out. You know, we're all on the same team here. Got to work together, because if we start going against each other, we're just going to go backwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What has been a project that stood out to you that's been more difficult? One of the harder ones.
More difficult, I would say. One thing that really sticks out that kind of got us into the trenchless world is we went out to Utah in 2010, and we did 78 jackings or tunnels.
Okay.
And we hadn't even done 78 tunnels in our existence until then, before that. And we kind of went out there.
And these are all different tunnels?
All different tunnels. Okay. It was in Provo, Utah. We worked for Ames Construction. Mm-hmm. And there was 78 different crossings. We had to go underneath I-15, all different sizes and ranges. And we threw a number, put together a number, you know. And it was
how do you do that?
It was a giant risk. I mean, I look back at it now and I'm like, oh my gosh, we were crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of people in the industry thought we were crazy. And somebody did it now, I'd probably think they were crazy too. You know, mm-hmm. But looking back, I mean, that really got our foot in the door in the trenchless industry. And was it a challenging job? Yes. Cause we were learning a lot on the way, and, you know, we weren't trenchless experts by any means. I mean, we knew enough to be dangerous, but we grew so much from that and just knowledge. Mm-hmm. And a majority of those people still work for us. But I mean, my brother went out there and ran the project, and my dad would go out there, you know, every couple of weeks and help, you know, put it together. He was really focusing on that out there, and that's where it kind of helped me grow too, helping mm-hmm. with you know, work that we had in the Midwest.
Yep.
And keep that going. But his job was a huge success. But it was just, you know, the challenges and just learning things. I think that, you know, that really put us on the map and really grew from that.
I was going to say, because like it doesn't seem like obviously there's the U.S. as a whole is, you know, well, there's a lot of companies, but still, like, in your world, I mean, a lot of people know what's going on, who's who,
yep,
what people do. So, I mean, you complete a job like that, I'm sure that people knew about it.
Yeah. You know? I mean, who are these crazy guys from Minnesota that,
yeah,
you know, were an open cut contractor 5 years ago, and now they're going out doing a monster yep. trenchless project, you know?
To have that on your resume and for people to know that you can take on that, I mean, that.
Yeah, that put us to the next level. I mean, yep. that let people know that we, you know, we were the real deal. Mm-hmm. You know, we weren't some fly-by-night outfit. And, you know, that really, yeah, took us to the next level, in my opinion.
I mean, what do you think, what do you think will take Mayer to the next level?
I think.
And do you want that?
I always tell people, you know, we've grown over the years, you know, slowly. I really don't see us with a vision, this huge, great, big, you know, hundreds and hundreds of employees that aren't. Really, that doesn't sound interesting to mm-hmm. me. I just want to grow to be better, developing people, developing good leadership, keeping up on technology, mm-hmm. having, you know, the right tools in your toolbox. To me, that's growing
yep.
in a way. It yep. necessarily isn't always volume
or
people. But if you can grow.
Yeah, people find that out quick. That it's
yeah, and yeah. some people like chasing that. But, you know, we're doing just fine right now, and we're still growing
yeah
a little bit. And
Well, I mean, if you focus on that, you're going to grow inherently. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. Yep. And you know, you get people that want to come work for you. And when you have people knocking on your door that say they want to come work for Minger Construction, and you look at their resume and it's out of this world, mm-hmm. and they have a whole crew with them, it's really hard to say no.
Yep.
You know, as long as the work is there and, you know, and they have the same mindset as you do, you know, it's easy, you know, you can be successful. Mm. So, and that's where we have grown in the last, you know, 10 years is, you know, we've had some really good opportunities and it's hard to say no to.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're at a really good spot right now. You know, it's manageable and, you know, we're in a good, we got good people and that big dream of being a big monster construction company just isn't that appealing to me.
Did you ever have that or?
Not really.
Yeah.
No. I mean, it's just always that kind of, that smaller, like I said, kind of goes back to family. You know, I don't want people to feel like a number.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yep. I'd rather people feel like they're, you know, they know who everybody is, you know, and, you know, they can recognize people. They know people's first name. But people can still come to me with a problem.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be some mythical creature in an office that, you know, no one wants to come and talk to. That drives me nuts. You know, it's like I don't mind when people come and talk to me about problems. You know, to me, that kind of goes back to that fam. We're in this together. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
So what does motivate you?
To do good work, to be, you know, be a leader in the industry, you know, that, you know, I want to be the best, you mm-hmm. know, that's what motivates. Make sure we are making clients happy. It really bums me out if I hear somebody isn't happy with something we did or something like that. You know, we try to fix that, mm-hmm. you know, if that, you know, it doesn't happen very often, but when it does, you know, you know, we want to nip that in the butt right away because that's not what we're about.
Right.
You know, so that motivates me is just to keep being an industry leader, you know, just, you know, make sure people want to work with Minger Construction. That's my big thing is and to keep
work with and for.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. And, you know, to keep providing for people, you know, that's a big thing for me is, you know, that feeding people's families, you know, that motivates me to, you know, that make sure that they have a place to come work to and enjoy to work at. You know, that really drives me, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I like that. How do you think, you know, just technology and like, you know, media and stuff like that has been changing, elevating, you know, the construction industry? I know, I mean, we've done video projects together, you know, how do you think that technology and like media is adding to or taking away from what you guys are doing?
That's a great point, adding and taking away, because I think there's mm-hmm. both. Adding, you know, you can use it to your resource. I think you really got to keep up with the times. You know, don't be that person or that company that doesn't want to try new things, you know, or have that mentality. If it's not broken, don't fix it, you know, because eventually it will be broken. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need to jump head first into it, but as long as you kind of keep developing and, you know, progressing towards technology, that to me, that's my opinion, that's a good way to go.
Yep.
But sometimes the technology can be super overwhelming. Mm. There's so much out there that you can do, and it's almost to the point where it's like there's so much information there that what do I even do with all this information, like tracking and you know, real time, how much dirt you're moving at the same time, how much compaction, you know, it's like all this information is getting thrown at you, and it's like, what do you even do with all that information?
Right.
So there you almost need another person to organize that information, and then what do you do with all that information once it's organized? Are you even really going to use it, mm-hmm. type of a deal? So that's where sometimes it gets overwhelming and it's like, all right, hold on, you know.
Well, yeah, and you like, what's our focus, you know, like we're getting all these, you know, things, but is it distracting us from like,
correct,
what makes us kind of thing?
And sometimes I feel like you got to watch with technology or information that it takes the personal aspect out of it. Mm-hmm. You rely so much on a computer or everything providing you all this information, where sometimes you got to sit back and look at the information and be like, the computer may not throw a red flag at you, or, you know, the information, the real, you know, you look at him like, oh my gosh, you know, this, why are we only moving this X amount of dirt? Mm-hmm. You know, just sometimes it just becomes too fluid and it kind of takes that human touch out of it. And it almost makes us dumber. Mm. You know, it just makes us, it makes it too,
you don't think anymore.
Either. Right. You rely on a computer and all that. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't make you think outside the box, or it just becomes, you almost become complacent with that computer. And it's a little scary because that's the way, you know, you got AI and all that stuff. I mean, it's coming on hot and heavy. Mm-hmm. And you just still try to, in my opinion, just try to keep that personal touch and make sure people are still learning,
yeah,
you know, and not relying completely solely on computers. But at the same time, it's really hard not to, because it does make your life a lot easier.
Right.
So you got to find that balance. But yeah, when you said it could go backwards, that's kind of my thought on mm-hmm. going backwards. But mm-hmm. you know, like the videos and stuff, I think that's a great avenue of, like, a, you and I were talking beforehand, is, you know, we do a lot of public bids, so marketing's not mm-hmm. it's not really necessary.
Yeah. Yep.
We got to put a, you know, turn a hard bid in, and, you know, if we get the work, great, if not, we go on to the next one. Mm-hmm. But just to let people know what you're doing and get people interested in what you're doing, I think is huge. And it helps if you go into a different marketplace and nobody knows who Minger Construction is. Well, go to our website, watch this video, and that's looks like these guys know what they're doing. So I mean, that aspect helps of it. But just
what about the internal morale side, like the employee side?
It helps. When you guys did our first video, people were super excited. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, there's like, that is awesome.
We hear that a lot. Just like, I mean, people put ton of blood, sweat, and tears into their job, and they're like, they have pride in their work.
Yeah,
you know, and they're proud that they're a part of this thing. So to be able to, like, have these videos that they're in, or that the company, you know, that they work for has, I mean, to be able to share with friends and family and, you know, stuff like that, like, people get excited.
Boy, exactly. And, yeah, I mean, they could share it and be like, hey, you know, with your neighbor, and yeah, like, what do you do? And it's like, yeah, oh, here, watch this YouTube video.
Check this one. Yeah,
yeah, this yeah, is what. Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
you know. So it definitely boosts morale, and mm-hmm. it lets you show off a little bit too. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that in the construction industry, we don't get to do that very often, and it's pretty cool with these videos that are out there now on social media and whatnot. It lets you show off a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. We do some pretty cool stuff, you know,
especially on the civil side. Like, most of your stuff at the end is covered up, and it's like,
yeah, nobody knows, or you drive by at 50 miles an hour, and it's like, oh, there's an excavator swinging, but nobody knows what they're doing.
Yeah,
and here they could be putting in, you know, a large sewer that, you know, drains your whole city. Mm-hmm. You know, and mm-hmm. people have no idea what that's all about, and so that's what's kind of neat, you know. And like I said, as an industry as a whole, we do a lot of cool stuff, and to get people interested in it, and that gets that younger generation to you know, want to get into our industry.
That's coming back. Like, they're getting really excited about just
more
and more young people are like, one, they see it as a viable option now, but two, it's just like, you know, we're making the industry like cool. Like, this is like, oh, dude, this stuff is sick.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. You know,
I get to do this and go here and work on this and operate this equipment, and, you know.
Yep.
That's cool for people.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Without a doubt. You know.
And your project in Iowa, that was sick.
Yeah. That was awesome. That was when we went to the pre-bid, I was looking at it, I'm like, this is something. We got to get this one. We got to put our heads together and put a good number
make this happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely, not a lot of people say you can tunnel into Carver Hawkeye Arena and break out, and everything was a huge success, and it was a fun one. And you guys made it look really cool.
Yeah. No, I'm excited to see too, like, how, you know, how that turns out.
Yeah.
And like, what does it turn into after there's a massive pit and hole, you know, and through, and it's like,
I think next year is when the wrestlers will be able to train and then go in the elevator and mm-hmm. go down 5 stories and walk in to the arena and not get cold.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly. Awesome. For you yourself personally, how do you continue to learn and develop yourself?
Going to conferences, that's probably my biggest thing. On the Trenchless side, they have No Dig Conference, going to different conferences like that and just learning about what's going on in the industry, reading mm-hmm. books, trying to keep up with leadership type stuff.
Do you enjoy that side of kind of what you do?
Yeah. I like to, because it's a way to improve, try to, always learn and try to, if you're not learning, you're dying, and just try to kind of perfect your craft in a way, and just, it helps you keep excited about the industry too. Mm-hmm. If you kind of get into that complacency of just like, doing the same thing over and over again and not interested in what other people do, it becomes boring in a sense. But yeah, I really enjoyed, and doing industry events, socializing with, competitors and stuff like that, it's a cool industry that we're in, it's a tight knit industry, but at the end of the day, we're all pretty friendly with each other, and it's a good time. It's pretty cool when you can pick up the phone with your direct competitor and have a conversation with them and just bounce ideas or, what are you going through and this type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that makes, you can't always do that in a lot of industries.
There's not a lot of people you can talk to about that.
Right. Yep. Exactly. And that's what makes it, that's why I love our industry, is just you have mm-hmm. that aspect. And, I've been in construction my whole life, so I don't quite know if it's like that across the board. I'm sure it is to some extent, mm-hmm. but it makes it appealing.
So I know running a company can be a high stress environment, obviously at times, and you got a lot of pressure. What does Luke do to fill his tank and kind of have that retreat?
Yeah. Well, right now it's chasing my boys. I got a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old and, hanging out with my wife and family, that definitely is, that's kind of my go-to now. But skiing. Snowboarding. Yep. I just got back from a trip from Utah. That's kind of my...
I saw some photos.
Yeah, that's my big release.
That looks sick.
Yeah. Mountain biking, dirt biking, that type of stuff, mm-hmm. trying to get out. And I don't do a whole lot of hunting and fishing, but, motorsports and that type of stuff I really gravitate towards. And, yeah, that's kind of my big release.
Yeah. It looks sick. I mean, the snowmobiles especially, it looks so much fun.
Yeah.
Getting back in the back country in the mountains. And
it's awesome, especially when you can do it with a group of buddies. And, we've kind of got an annual trip that we do, and it's a lot of fun. We have a great time. And it's just a way to unwind and really.
I think you need it too.
Yeah.
You need some kind of, I've been learning more about, like the retreat aspect of, cause it's like, what is a retreat? Who takes time? Like I gotta go. I got stuff to do. But that element of like retreat and just like the day to day can give you that refresh.
Yes.
To get back on track, to be reignited, to, have clarity in what you're trying to do and, what's next. For the company, especially for, you too, like ramping up into, we do this now and we ramp back up into a really busy season. And
yeah.
I got to get dialed in for that.
Yep, exactly. And it kind of helps you just relax. Like this is our slow time right now. Mm. And it's a little bit refreshing. It lets you reset, kind of go over your goals, what you want to do, and goes through your list and, tighten up some loose ends mm-hmm. that you got out there and, how you can improve and stuff like that. But, going on a trip or something like that, it definitely helps. And, and trying to, I struggle with disconnecting even when you're on that trip.
Oh, it's hard.
Yeah. Really hard. I do struggle with it. I'm trying to get better at it. Just like, you don't need to call and check in all the time and stuff like that. I'm trying to get better at it, but it's,
I get it. I mean, we took a cruise this year and it was like every morning, like the first couple hours was just phone, computer.
Like, yeah. Written. But at the same time, though, it doesn't make – I always kind of devote a little bit – go through emails and stuff like that. I feel like as if you could – in my opinion, if you completely check that out and then you go back, like – it's almost more stressful to get back to work.
Yeah. And when you know that it's at least taken care of.
Right, right. At least
kinda, you kind of forget about it.
Right. Or at least you can make a list and kind of, at least you kind of know what you're into instead of like you've got 5 days of emails that you're like, oh my gosh. But yeah, it's, you got to learn to disconnect a little bit. But I don't know if I'll ever be able to do it fully, but it's just one of those things.
It is. As we kind of wrap things up, you know, we have a lot of listeners that own companies at different levels and aspiring entrepreneurs and leaders in companies, you know, stuff like that. I mean, what advice would you give, you know, that entrepreneur, that business owner, that, you know, person that is just trying to be better, do better, and, you know,
be humble. Yeah. That's my biggest thing is we're all equal. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, you can get replaced really fast. You know, if you think you're the best and you're going to steamroll over everybody, someday somebody's going to steamroll right over you. Mm-hmm. You know, it treat people the way you want to be treated and just, you know, my big thing is just be humble. Don't get too big of a head. I mean, that's to me, that's huge. Cause then people are going to want to work with you.
Yeah.
They're going to want to be on your team. I mean, there's confidence and all that stuff like that, but you know, just treat people right. You know, I think that's huge to me. You know, I feel like it's working pretty well. You know, we don't have a lot of turnover in Minger Construction because, you know, going back, you know, would I do that job? Because if I wouldn't, I have a tough time telling my crew to do that job. So like I said, just humble is huge.
Well, you see that. I mean, successful people, and they kind of figure it out, they have like that humble confidence. Like they're not trying to necessarily prove something. It's like they know what they know and they're comfortable in that, and they've, you know, they've figured it out to an extent, and you know,
yeah,
so yeah,
and it'll help you build a big a good team around you. Yep. You know, I don't know a lot of people that like to be around big mouth, arrogant people. You know, some people gravitate towards that. Not me, but you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you're typically going to want to work around people that, you know, you like to be around.
100%.
You know, and not saying that everybody wants to be around me all the time, but, but you know, just don't be a jerk. Yeah. You know, life's short. So that's my biggest thing.
I like it.
Yeah.
Well, sweet. Luke, I want to thank you again. This has been a great opportunity. I've definitely learned a lot.
And,
I really appreciate you coming on.
No, I appreciate you bringing me down here and getting the tour of the place and all the stuff that you guys done for us over the last couple of years. It's been awesome. Looking forward to more.
Yeah. Looking forward to the future.
Yeah. Awesome.
And as always, guys, thank you so much for listening. We definitely appreciate you guys listening and tuning in today. I hope that you learned something, you grabbed a nugget that you can apply in your business and your journey. We're excited for the future to keep having more and more guests on, talking about all kinds of different topics related to business, entrepreneurship, leadership, sales, marketing, anything like that. So, if you like this, please continue to share it out with friends. And we're just excited to keep rolling. We'll see you guys on the next one.